I want you to help me with the lyrics this time. I'm going to leave out a word, and I want you to fill it in. Okay? You ready? Jesus loves, this I know, for the Bible tells, little ones to Him belong, they are weak, He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves. Yes, Jesus loves. Yes, Jesus loves. The Bible tells me so. Have you ever internalized those lyrics? This morning we're going to read from a man who did. In point of fact, he's probably one of the greatest Christians to ever live. And I believe with all of my heart that the greatness of Paul came from the greatness of his love for Jesus. And I believe that Paul's love for Jesus rested on his belief that Jesus truly loved him. So turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And let's see what the Apostle Paul wrote as he internalized those lyrics that we often sing. The fact that Jesus loves me. It's in Galatians 2, verse 20 that we read those words that, well, we often sing. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Watch how that verse comes to an end. The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now watch how that verse begins. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. Those words begin, first of all, with a reference to a crucifixion. I have been crucified. And then the next phrase references a transformation. It is no longer I who live. Paul had gone through a change. But before the transformation could take place, the crucifixion had to take place. Before others could see Jesus in Paul, Paul had to die. A caterpillar will never become a butterfly until it ceases being a caterpillar. Amen? A tadpole will never become a frog until it ceases being a tadpole. Amen? You will never show Jesus to the world until you exist no longer. Amen? That's what Paul says here. I have been crucified. Paul is no more. I live like someone else now. Do you remember what he said in Philippians chapter 1? For me to live is, to die is gain. Paul said, when you see me, you see Jesus. You don't see Paul anymore. Now this morning, what I would like for us to do is to consider these words in Galatians 2 verse 20 and see what can help us. Die to self. And transform into showing others Jesus. The rest of the verse can be summarized in these two observations. Paul said, I live the way I live because he, Jesus, loved the way he loved. Look at that first observation. I live the way I live. We're going to consider this passage in segments. Let's look at it, let's say three words at a time, and see in so doing if we can't learn some things that can help us turn from a caterpillar into a butterfly, from ourselves into showing Jesus to others. First of all, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now here we go. The life which... Let's pause for a moment and siphon in those words. Do you remember on another occasion where the Apostle Paul described life in three different ways? Help me with this. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Now, he described his life in three different ways. First of all, Paul described life as a battle. It is not a war, ladies and gentlemen. The war has already been waged and won by Jesus Christ over the devil. Correct? Life is a battle. And you and I have to engage in one skirmish after another called temptation just to determine whether we're going to be on the winning side of the war or the losing side of the war. Now, some in fighting this battle have never unsheathed the sword and begun to fight. They've never become Christians. Some have unsheathed the sword and they've started to fight, but they've become very weary and they have allowed the losing side to recapture them. But there are some like Paul that have unsheathed the sword and are fighting the fight, even like one of those great men of David, so much that the hand cramps and cleaves to the handle of the sword, but he fights on. Now that was Paul. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I'm on the winning side. But he said, I have finished the course. Life is a race. Now, some have never even stepped onto the track and started to run the race. They've never become Christians. Some have gotten on the track and they've begun to run, but they've come up with a torn hamstring and they just hobble off and they never run again. But some are like the Apostle Paul. They get on that track and they run that race, and even though it's difficult, they continue to run until they're ready to cross the finish line. Victors as a result of the efforts of the coach, Jesus. Life is a patrol I have kept, guarded, protected the faith. Now, there are some that go on patrol and they just go to sleep. And they allow the enemy to make his way into the camp. Some are on patrol and they take bribes. And they cave in their convictions and their allegiance and they start making decisions for the enemy to come into the camp. But there are some that stand true to the task at hand, and they will guard the unsearchable riches of Christ come what may. And that was Paul. So watch how Paul described his life. Life is a battle. Life is a race. Life is a patrol. And he said, I have fought, and folks, I'm on the winning side. I have run and I can see the finish line. I have kept the faith and I have not given way to the enemy. All of that suggests to me that Paul saw life as something to prepare for eternity. You see, the very next verse says, henceforth. That's the Bible way of saying, because of that, there's laid up for me the crown of life. Paul saw this life as just a preparation for something better. Now, if I am going to die to myself and transform into Jesus before others, that's the first thing I need to remember. I am not here for here. I am here to get ready for something out there. How you doing? How you doing on getting ready? Some of us are doing everything we can to save to prepare ourselves for retirement years. Some of us are spending everything we have to enjoy the here and now. Some of us focus our attention on how I look, on how I feel, and how strong I am, on what I have, on where I live, on the here and now. But how many of us are giving attention to out there? This is nothing but preparing for out there. Look at the next three words. The life which I now live. Now. If anybody had a right to be haunted by his past, it was the Apostle Paul. And there is indication that he really struggled with that at times. Before I was, but then with the same stroke of the pen, howbeit I obtained mercy. So the Apostle Paul was able to rise above thoughts of his past by the mercy of God. Now let's watch. I now live. Time can be placed into one of three frames of reference. In fact, Revelation 1 references Jesus as, or God as, the one who was, who is, and who is to come. Past, present, future. Now, in our passage of interest, Paul says, I now live. He's not living in the past. In fact, in Philippians chapter 3, he said, forgetting the things which are behind. He's not living in the future of this life. Jesus said, be not anxious for tomorrow. And so Paul's not concerned about tomorrow. Paul is not weighed down by yesterday. Paul says, right now, I'm living a life. He lived for the day. How many of us here are burdened with the mistakes of our past? Every one of us have made them. How many of us this morning are anxious about tomorrow, if we will even have a tomorrow, or how many tomorrows there will be, or what we anticipate could come tomorrow? I now live one day at a time. Is how we are to live our lives. Today is all we have. Someone has said, yesterday is a canceled debt. Yet tomorrow is a promissory note. Only today is cash in hand. Spend it well. Live today. So, first, I realize that my life is preparing me by my choices for eternity. So I'm going to live my life today with eternity in mind. Look at the next three words of our passage. The life which I now live in the flesh. Now, this is pretty important here. Man is a trichotomous being, if you're talking to a philosopher. Man is composed of three constituent elements. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23 references God perfecting us body, soul, and spirit. Now, we all understand the body. That's the flesh. The soul and the spirit can trip us up sometimes. And that because of the way the word soul is used in the Bible. Sometimes it's used in the generic. 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost. Sometimes it's used in reference to the inner man, the soul living inside the body. But sometimes the word soul is used as a synonym for the life quality. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That doesn't mean God put a spirit inside of him. Living soul there means a living, breathing creature. The same Hebrew word is used for fish in Genesis chapter 7. And so when you have the word spirit and soul in the same verse or context, the word soul is talking about life. James 2:26, the body apart from the soul is what? Dead. There the word soul is talking about the spirit. So the spirit's on the inside of the body, and that results in life. When the spirit leaves the body dies. So man is a trichotomous being in that there's a body, there is a spirit, inner man, inside the body, which is the real person, and the spirit inside the body results in the life quality. Now in our passage of interest, Paul diverts all of his attention to one of those three elements, and that's the flesh, the body. Paul didn't say, I am the flesh. He didn't say, I'm apart from the flesh. But he says, I'm now living in the flesh. You see, the way we live inside our bodies, the way we use our bodies will help us say no to ourselves and show Jesus to others. Paul's talking about what he chose to eat and how he ate it. Gluttony. Paul's talking about what he chose to drink and how he drank it. Drunkenness. Paul's talking about the third major driving desire of man, sex, and how he chose to satisfy that desire. Evidence is Paul chose not to have a wife. But he did say, in a context talking about sexual immorality, having sex with somebody other than your spouse, he did say, I have a right to have a wife, meaning he capsuled the concept of that fleshly desire into the arena of holy matrimony. So Paul says, you know, if I'm going to eat, if I'm going to drink, if I'm going to have sex, I'm in this flesh and I'm going to live in this flesh a certain way. I'm getting ready for out yonder. I'm living only this day, and I have to make some decisions about how I'm going to use my body. Let's look at the next three words in our passage. The life which I now live in the flesh, he said, I live by faith in someone. I live by faith. Now, if you've been among our number that have religiously come on Sunday nights to study Romans in our Sunday night Bible study, you'll recognize this as the theme of the book of Romans. The just shall live by faith. And that's what Paul is saying here. I'm living by faith in someone. Now, you can place your faith in one of three areas. You can believe in yourself. And you will be disappointed. You can believe in others and you will be betrayed. Or you can believe in Jesus Christ and He will always have your back. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord, lean not upon your own understanding." The Bible actually tells us who to trust. Trust God, and that's what Paul is saying here. So Paul is saying, I live by faith in the Son of God. So my faith is the dynamic that moves me through life. I decide what I decide because of my faith in Jesus. Paul said, I'm living for out yonder, eternity. And I'm going to live this day, right now. And I'm going to make the right decisions about how I use my body, because the decisions that I made are going to be driven by the fact I believe in Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never die to yourself until you're willing to do what Paul did. Now, let's hasten on. He says, I live the way I live because Jesus loved the way He loved. I'm going to ask you in the Bibles that you brought this morning to turn with me to four different verses, and then we'll close our lesson. Each of these verses employ the same phrase that we have here. In our passage it says, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The love that Jesus had moved Jesus to give Himself. Let's look at four other verses in the Bible where we find that phraseology, gave Himself. First of all, turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Just turn back a page. References to Christ who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of our God and Father. He gave Himself to deliver us. Here's an interesting thought. The word translated deliver is the word for raise or resurrection. And it's prefaced by the preposition, which means up, to raise up. It carries the word picture of Jesus gave Himself so that He could reach down and pick us up out of this evil world and put us over here among people that He calls His own. Jesus gave Himself to relieve us of the misery in this world. All you have to do is study the lives of others that aren't Christians. See how hollow and empty their lifestyle is. And then contrast that to the Christian that you know, even the one that's struggling the most with life, has more than somebody in this world without Jesus. Greater cause for happiness and peace than somebody out yonder without Jesus. Jesus came to relieve us of the misery in this world. Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's read together, starting with verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Watch how emphatic the Holy Spirit is here. He says in verse 26, cleanse her. Pause. Don't miss this point. Cleanse her by the washing of water. The washing of water. By or according to the word. Take that back to Acts 22:16. Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. Anyway, there's a cleansing here in verse 26. And then there's without spot or wrinkle, verse 27. And then there's this concept of being holy, separate from everybody else. And then there's that word, those words, without blemish. Jesus gave himself to release us from our past, tainted, marred, contaminated by our own bad decisions, sin. I can be cleansed from my yesterdays. It's a wonderful thought. Then turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read together verses 6 and 7. Who gave himself a ransom. A ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. He gave himself as a ransom. The idea of ransom is the mercy and the love of God paid the offended holiness and avenging justice of God so that I don't have to be afraid of God anymore. When I sin, I offend God's holiness, and his justice cries for vengeance. And he's waiting for the day of wrath, as judgment is called in Romans 2, verse 6 and 7. He's offended by me, he's angry with me, and he will get his vengeance come the day of judgment and send me to hell. But the mercy and love of God wouldn't let me just stay there. The mercy of God sent Jesus, the love of God put him on the cross, and the blood of Jesus makes it possible for the mercy and the love of God to buy me back from his offended holiness and his avenging justice, so I don't have to be afraid of God anymore. I belong to his mercy. I belong to his love, not his offended holiness, not his justice. I belong to not his wrath, but his pleasure. That's ransom. And the word in the Bible for that is redemption. He gave himself so that his blood could redeem me, pay the ransom for my soul. Well, last of all, turn with me to Titus 2, verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us, there's that redemption again, from every lawless deed and purify, there's that being released from our past and purified or cleansing again, purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. On fire and boiling over for doing things that are good to bring God's glory. He gave himself to redirect my life from a self-seeking focus to a servant mindset. Paul said, I live the way I live because Jesus loved the way he loved. How about you and me? There is one motivating factor that will help you take the first step to crucifying your flesh, yourself, so that you can transform into a Jesus before others. You know what that one motivating factor is? The one that moves you to take the first step? You say, Brother Dan, it's faith. No, that's not it. Jesus Himself said, if you what? Love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do you really, really, really love Jesus? He really loves you. And He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Think about it as we stand together and sing.